Hello, and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's weekly dedicated design program. I'm Nolan Giles. Modena-based high-end vehicle producer Maserati has recently re-embraced its racing roots with the launch of the MC20. So, how does the design process work for these supercars that often form parts of collections? And does Maserati draw inspiration from other designers working in different fields when it's thinking about its own cars? Monocle's Europe editor-at-large Ed Stocker spoke to Klaus Bousset, head of design at FCA Europe, to discuss his work at Maserati.
So looking back, I think I first fell in love with cars before I fell in love with design. And that was just by the sheer fact that I didn't know what design was. I fell in love with cars at a very young age, mostly, by the way, through American TV shows, I have to admit. I was basically watching every show where the car was the protagonist. And that, of course, would be Magnum PI, it would be Miami Vice. So usually there would be Italian cars in there, which was cool.
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider, I knew you were going to ask that. No, Knight Rider, for some reason, I could never connect to. I don't know why. To this day, I'm not a part of that group. No, it was more the Italian cars. If they were red and low, it helped.
I think there's probably a lot of listeners out there who are curious to know. Your job seems so vast. I just really would love to have an idea of the day-to-day workings of that job. Give us an idea of what your working day is like.
As you can imagine, it's pretty intense. So we're dealing here with quite a beautiful array of brands. So at Centro Stile FCA, which is FCA means Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, we are taking care of the design for brands like Maserati, Alfa Romeo, Fiat, Lancia, Fiat Professional, Abarth. So all of them true legacies. You have to imagine it in the sense, in the tradition of typical Italian design houses, Pininfarina, Bertone, they all always had the challenge to deal with multiple brands. And we do the same thing. We can jump between one brand and another from day to day, from one meeting to another. Not only is that, of course, keeping us busy going from one brand to the other, but also within the brand, there are so many cars, there's so many different phases of the process. So it's a really beautiful, you know, a day going from one moment you're looking at materials, a new leather for Maserati, the next moment you're looking at a new headlight for a Fiat. So it's a really, really interesting day.
I mean, yes, I was going to ask about that. Do you have to find that you're almost assuming different personalities for each brand, from Alfa Romeo to Fiat to Maserati? How does that work?
It is quite a challenge, jumping from one to the other, indeed. But there's an overarching principle, which is for us is Italian design. Now, you might think, okay, why is this guy, Klaus, German, speaking about Italian design? I would say, you know, if you drink espresso, for example, right, it's this iconic Italian beverage, but there's not an Italian coffee bean. So we consider us international designers who work at Centro Stile like the coffee beans. But the Italian design process is this overarching umbrella for all design. So that guides us with the principles. But then, of course, you have to go in the brands and identify what makes that brand special. And of course, we know what makes every brand special. But yeah, you have to remind yourself.
I've read somewhere that one of your influences is Zaha Hadid. I'm interested to know whether you think, in a way, design principles are the same across the board, whether you get inspiration from other designers, from architects, and are able to apply that to car design.
Yes, and especially when it comes to Zaha Hadid, or Calatrava is another amazing architect that inspires my work. And when I mean inspiration, I don't look at their work and then take a piece of their shape or color onto the car. No, it goes much higher than this, because, you know, there's everyone is aware of Bauhaus, right? So Bauhaus is all about form follows function. And I agree with that. But in Italy, for us, beauty is a function. The way an object looks is a function. So we follow that path. And what I love about Hadid and Calatrava's work is that they're not purely connecting the dots and creating a purely functional object, but they always consider the visual statement. How many examples can you pick from their work where you can say they have created a piece of architecture that in return turned that city into a tourist destination spot because of what they have created, something people wanted to see? So the visual part, the beauty, is that overarching inspiration. And that's what I also see for our cars. We're not just creating devices that take you from A to B. We're creating a beautiful statement. We want to put beauty into everyday life, into the streets with our objects, with our cars.
I mean, you've talked about everything from the headlights to the interiors of a car. Are you overseeing more of those little details, or how much are you overseeing the overall shape and form of the car itself?
There's no limit to any. It really depends on the process. You know, when we start the design of a car, you'll see us in a room as a group debating what will be the right of existence for that car. So it's a very, very philosophical debate, after which in our head, the car has almost designed itself. Now, that conversation can be an hour, it can be a day, it can be weeks, it can be, well, months, we will stretch it. But then towards the end of the project, before the car comes out into the customer's hands, you will find me in the plant. You'll find me with the manufacturing team looking at the very last details. Where are the parting lines? How is the fit and finish? Not in the data that we created, the theoretical fit and finish, but how does it really turn out when you build the car? What are the challenges of the team and the plant, you know? So it really goes from very philosophical to microscopic half-mil discussion throughout the life of a project.
Let's talk specifically about Maserati, and obviously a brand that has so much history, so much in the archives, if you like. Now, I'm going to ask you a bit of a difficult question, but I want to know if that's a help or a hindrance. Because obviously you've got so much material to reference when you're designing a new car, but also is there sort of pressure as well, given all that history and prestige from the past?
You know, Maserati has been with me since I can think about cars. It was always this brand that I had so much respect for. And now being in charge of the design, you might be able to imagine the pressure, not only the external pressure, the pressure I apply myself. Because you have to see, when we design a Maserati, it's not simply a car that, you know, will be in traffic. It's a car we designed it in case of the recent MC20 supercar, a car that will also go to the racetrack, of course. But beyond that, it will go into collections. Beyond that, it will appear on Concours d'Elegance, and it will eventually make its way into a museum. So when you design a vehicle like a Maserati, you can't just think about the lifespan of a car, which is 5, 7, maybe 10 years max. You have to really think into the future.
I want to talk about technological advances. You know, Maserati is committed to a more electrified and also autonomous future. I wanted to know how that affects design. Does design, to a certain extent, have to be built around those features going forward?
That's a fascinating question that, of course, as you can imagine, keeps me up at night. Electrification has some impact on package, positive impact, but more importantly, specifically for Maserati, it means silence. My car, it has a naturally aspirated V8 Ferrari in there. So, of course, the sound plays an important role. That will fall away on an electric car. So that was something I was concerned about at first, but we did the following in the studio. We watched videos of our favorite Maseratis, the 50s A6 GCS, going through the streets of Brescia, and we turned off the sound. We just looked at the car rolling through the street without any sound, and we felt, oh my God, this is so cool. Because before, you were drawn to the sound, and all your audible senses were tuned into the sound. But when actually you take away the sound, you have to really focus on what you see, the visual. And that, again, highlights one of the strengths of Maserati. We're working with amazing proportion, amazing, beautiful shape. So, yes, the car is silent, but it amplifies the stunning looks of a car.
My thanks to Ed Stocker there. And that's all for this week. If you're eager for more design stories, listen to our full-length program airing on Tuesdays, 8 p.m. London time. Today's episode was produced by Maylie Evans. I'm Nolan Giles. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.